Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in the precious and the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Father God. Lord, we ask that you open up your word this morning, Father God, that we might receive the bread of life, that we might leave here blessed and edified, strengthened for your name's sake.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, we thank you for getting us through another week and another day and another month, Father God. Lord, we just want to give you all the praise and all the glory.
Hallelujah.
For you alone deserve all the worship in this world.
Thank you.
Lord, we just want to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Amen. The 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, amen. And I'll go ahead and read starting from verse 5, amen. When you have to say amen, Luke chapter 11, verse 5, amen. And the word of God reads, "And he said unto them, Which of you, having a friend, should go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey and has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give unto you. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give unto him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened. And for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks it shall be opened. For if a son shall ask bread, will any of you as a father give him a stone? If he ask a fish, for a fish will he give him a serpent? Or shall he ask for an egg and offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him?" Amen.
Amen.
And this short parable is not what I'm going to be ministering on, but I want you to learn a principle. There was a man who was asleep, and there was a man that was in need. And even though this man that was asleep was a friend of the man that was in need, because of his present situation, he didn't want to get up. But the Word of God is basically telling you, the more you knock, not because he's your friend will anything happen, but because of your persistence, because of your constant seeking, that person will rise up, amen. And the same is true in your walk with God. You might need something from the Lord, and the Lord might not want to give it to you right away, but that's why we knock and keep knocking, amen. This morning I'll be ministering on a sermon called Throw Away the Receipt.
All right.
You cannot give back God his gift.
Amen.
Throw away the receipt. You cannot give God back his gift. Amen.
Amen.
A person, when we go to a store, Walmart, Walgreens, whatever it is that we might want to do, we go there to buy things we need. Amen.
Amen.
We go there to purchase goods that we need. And in essence, we are asking them to provide something to us. And once we purchase these goods, they are ours. And the receipt is given. Proof that we purchased something, amen? So when we go to the store, we get our goods, the cashier gives us receipts so that we can say, okay, I spent so, I got this, candy bar, gasoline, and so on and so forth, amen? But sometimes, and I want you to pay good attention, sometimes the goods that are purchased, amen, are given to others as gifts. And therefore, the gift giver, in most cases, does not give the gift receiver the receipt because the gift is not to be returned, but to be used to its fullest extent. Amen? So, sometimes the things that are purchased, amen, are given away freely to someone else, or are given as a gift, and therefore, the gift receiver doesn't have a receipt because the gift was not meant to be given back. In our current situation, we were all lost and in need of salvation. And someone told us where to go and receive it, amen? The Word of God says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So we by faith ask Jesus to save us. We may not have known that Jesus is the purchase that was brought to be the gift. You see, Jesus Christ was a purchase. God the Father sent his Son to buy our redemption, to buy our salvation, and though we may not have known the whole process, when we ask God to save us, that is what has happened. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says this, "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you shall have of God? Ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, for ye are God's." We were purchased, amen, with a price. Sometimes as Christians, we don't understand what God has had to do in order for us just to receive this free gift. And we don't understand the totality of what God had to go through to in order to provide us with this. I know that if I have to go to the gasoline station to fill up my car, it's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me these days about $100, amen. But in order for us to be saved, in order for us to have eternal life, in order for us to be redeemed, there was a substantial price that was paid. Nothing that you or I could ever afford. Nothing that you or I could ever deserve. Nothing that you or ever I could ever earn. The scripture in Isaiah 53 says this, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. But when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As we hid our faces from him, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, and he carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each into his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb before the slaughter, and a sheep before his shearers is dumb, and he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people he was stricken. And in his grave with the wicked, where he was he made with the rich, and in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord," speaking of God, "to bruise him, and hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his land. And he shall see the travail of the soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge that shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore he will divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, that he made intercession for transgressors." Amen. In that chapter of Isaiah, we see what God did. Mm-hmm. We see what had to happen in order for this purchase to be made. The purchase of salvation could not be made with financial means. God could not save you by paying a certain amount of money. Otherwise, he would have gladly have done it. But it took the shed blood of Jesus Christ for us to be saved. It took the shed blood of Jesus, the suffering, the travail, the seeing of God's own Son put to death to save us. So I want you to understand this morning that what we have received, it's not only been a purchase, but it has been a gift that was given to us freely. Amen. How many of you would have traded your life for a no good rotten creation? How many of you would have laid down your life to save someone else? Amen. But God saw our need, and he knew that we needed salvation. So someone told us, you need to be saved? Well, here's where you need to go. And here's what you need to ask for. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. Right. We need to understand something, that God is the gift giver. Mm-hmm. Romans 6 and 23 says this, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God gives no receipts because Christ cannot be given back."
All right.
You see, once a person makes that most crucial choice in their life to accept the gift of God, there is something that cannot be replaced. Mm-hmm. It's just like you take two eggs and you scramble them together. Once a choice has been made for them to be scrambled, they cannot ever be done. They can't be undone. It's a permanent gift. Yeah. It's something that cannot be given back. Amen. Right. If someone were to give you a case full of steaks or a brand new car, they expect you to what? Use it. Yeah. Amen. So what was our situation today is this. Christians accept Christ, they give Christ their life, and then the next thing you know, you want to give it back. Oh, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Let me go my own way.
Right.
Jesus, thank you for saving me. Let me go in peace. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Now I just want to go back to what it is that I want to do. Let me tell you something. God gave us Jesus because we asked.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't force any of us to accept this wonderful gift. Amen. He gave us Jesus because we asked, because we were in need of salvation. God expects us to live a life, in life of faith, amen.
Mm-hmm.
And God says his gifts, in Romans chapter 11 and 29, he says, the gifts of God and the callings of God are without repentance. Meaning that what God has given you, you don't have to worry about it being repossessed. What God has given to you, you don't have to worry about him wanting it back. God gives you Jesus. God gives you the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, because you need him.
Come on.
He gives you what you need, amen.
Yes,
because the bottom line is, if you don't have Christ, you are going to be needing something. Amen. Jesus Christ is the gift. God has given every single thing that he could to provide salvation for us. And how many here are saved? I believe everybody here is saved.
Amen.
This gift is life-altering. Here we come to God with our guts hanging out and the blood all over the place. And God says, you need restoration.
All right.
Here's my son. God says, you need healing. Here's my son. God says, you need this. Here's my son. Once the gift has been received, amen, it cannot be given back to God. Once you receive Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you have to go live your life as such has happened. Because the gift of God will do one or two things. Jesus will either give you life or he'll give you death. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? The worst type of life to live is to have accepted Christ and then not to believe in him.
Amen.
That is the most miserable life. To have accepted Christ at one point and to say, God, I give you my heart, I give you my strength and my spirit, save me. And then to go on living without faith. Because what happens is you try to go back to the old world. And once you've been redeemed, there's no desire in the oldness. Once you've been redeemed, you know that sin is wrong. You know that disobedience is wrong. And if you choose to walk in not living in faith, you will have the most miserable life. You'll get no joy in sin. You'll get no joy in church. You'll get no joy in God because you simply believed, but you didn't continue to have faith. It's the most miserable life. But those that receive the gift of God and those that take God and his word and begin just to live as they are have the most joyous life because they know they've been redeemed. Amen. God gives a gift that cannot be returned. Amen. Therefore, when we got saved, he didn't give us a, you purchased your salvation, here's the receipt that you purchased your salvation. Because we couldn't do it. He gave Jesus Christ the receipt. You know, Jesus had a little conversation with God. God said, son, you see this people? I want you to go and purchase them.
Right.
Jesus might have said, God, how do you want me to go about doing that? And Jesus replied, and God said, well, I want you to go down. I want you to be born of a virgin. I want you to live like them, but not like them. I want you to stand before them. I want you to preach. I want you to teach. And by the way, after you've done all this, main thing, I want you to die. I want you to die for their sins. I want you to be beaten upon a cross and spit on and wounded and all these things I just read. because I want you to purchase them, and this is what is necessary for the purchase to be made.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus said, all right, God, I'm going to go ahead and do it, but I'm going to need some proof that the mission's been accomplished. And God said, here's going to be the receipt of your purchase. You're going to be crowned King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the bright morning star, the first and the last, the great and beautiful King. God said, Jesus Christ, once you made the purchase, I'm going to give you the receipt so you have the proof to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ in heaven says, I purchased Jenna. I purchased Jeremiah. I purchased John. I purchased the church. I have paid the price. And we have to live the fact that we are a servant of the receipt holder.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. You see, God gives us Jesus. Therefore, Jesus has the price because he's paid it, amen. Romans 11 and 29, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Christ is a one-time gift, amen. So don't waste it. The situation that we all got in, we can blame on Adam. We say, Adam, he ate that apple, that doggone rascal, Adam. And that doggone Eve, they done put us in this pit. They done ruined our lives. They gave us the gift of death. But the scripture says this, Romans 5 and 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so is also the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, so much more the gift of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as just that one had sinned, amen, it says, and not as if was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For if the judgment was by one condemnation, but the free gift is many offenses unto justification. For by one man's offense death reigned, by one so much more which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For by as one man's disobedience all made sinners, so by the obedience of one, so many shall be made righteous. Amen.
Amen.
So we learn this. Through what Adam did, we're all in the same situation. Lost, death, reigning in our life. But because the gift of God replaces the tragedy of Adam, we now can have life.
Amen.
We now can have life. Church, I want you to hear it. Because of Jesus Christ, we can now have life.
Come on.
I don't know what you're living for, but we can now have life. Because the new gift, the replacement, the second man in the last Adam said, what he has done, I put an end to. The curse that he caused, I have fixed it. The problem that you're in, I have resolved. You had a bankrupt account, I've replaced it with the gift. You said you are a sinner, I say you're saved. You said you are a transgressor, I say you transgress no more. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, because of the gift of God, we have the right to live.
Yes, sir.
We have the right to live. How dare we give up the right to live? That'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it? But it happens. Because the children of God keep living like Adam's reasoning. Sin shall have no dominion over you. Grace is to abound. The gift of God has given us the right to live, the right to be free, the right to overcome, the right to enter into heaven, not because of what we have done, but because of the obedience of the one, Jesus Christ, amen. Christ is a one-time gift, so don't waste it. There are some people that have wasted the gift, amen. The scripture speaks to them in Hebrews chapter 6 and 4. For it is impossible for them who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were mere partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come If they should fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing that they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put him to open shame. It's impossible. Don't waste the gift. Don't let it become spoiled. Don't put Christ upon the shelf and let the Bible collect dust. Don't let the gift become pointless. Amen. It is past time, amen. Not it is time, but it is past time for us to take the gift which God and Christ have suffered so much for to live according, amen. I was looking up some illustrations the other day, and I came across this definition. And it was simply called the definition of fat. A guy, John Wagner, named John Maxwell, wrote this definition. And it says, allow me to define fat. It involves scores of passive partitioners sitting week after week, soaking up what in some cases is gourmet preaching, but are still infected with a disease called spectarism. The mass of untapped potential is generally educated far beyond their level of obedience and is not translating Christian theory into practice. Spectarism generally creates flabby, weak, spoon-fed believers who have grown old but not up in the Lord. They know more about church policy than evangelism and are better acquainted with parliamentary procedure than discipleship. Spiritual fat. Learning, ever learning, and never doing. We learn so much about Jesus. I bet many of y'all can tell me everything Jesus ever did. He died, he rose, he performed miracles, he preached, he taught. And we learn all this stuff. But to the level that you learn, it's the level that you're to grow. We're not to grow in just understanding, but in life experience and in maturity and in growth. So that when God looks back at us, we just can't give word speech, but life living. Amen. And if we take the gift which God has given and stop just looking at it, looking at what Jesus has done for us at the cross, how many times have y'all pictured what Jesus did for you at the cross? We can either sit back and picture and mentalize and spiritualize what God has done, or we can simply say, God, you've done it. Now I'm going to live according to it.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's time to stop looking and seeing and learning and to start participating in the move of God. Amen. Because the gift causes you to change. Jesus causes people to change. Once the temple of the Holy Ghost has been established, and once God comes into the scene, the first thing he does is start getting rid of the things that aren't supposed to be there. Money changers, got to go. Devil, you got to go. Because you are bought with a price. You ask God to save you. You ask God to restore you. You ask God to redeem you. And now that he's done it, new principles, new doctrine, new way of living has been input into your life. Amen.
Amen.
The scripture says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. God gives you what you ask for. If there's any other principle that we can learn in the scriptures, is God will give you what you ask for. God, I need help. Here you go. God teaches in this parable that if you ask him for a piece of bread, is he going to give you something different than what you asked for? Is he going to give you a stone? No. If you ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you ask for an egg, is God going to give you a scorpion? No. We come to Jesus, who has all that we need, and we ask him for things. Lord, I want you to save my family. If we ask anything according to his will, it shall be done. So we say, God, save my family in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes.
It's done.
Amen.
God, I'm having trouble on my job. Can you save my coworkers? It's done.
Done.
because God will work according to his will, amen. So if we understand the gift of God, and we understand that anything that a believer should ask God is going to be done, think of what it can do to your life. Instead of looking for God to do it, just accept that it's been done.
Yes, sir.
Because until you can simply ask God in faith and believe, the scripture says, hope for those things, amen. We might not see it, but we consider it done. Once you ask God to do something, it is done. Not as long as it's according to his will, amen. Some of y'all probably think, oh, Pastor, I can't wait to get out of here. Say, God, I need $1 million. God, I need a brand new house with Mercedes Benz. That's where many go astray. Ask him better prayers. Much like Solomon did. God, give me the wisdom to lead your people.
Amen.
Give me the understanding to make good decisions. When you ask God without personal gain, God will give it to you. But the problem with us, we always ask God for things to make us better. Well, God, I need it. Jesus, what do we learn from him? Father, I'm leaving them, but I'm praying for them, amen.
Right.
You see, when you stop considering just about yourself and going to God just about your needs, and you start to go to God and say, Lord, I want you to move mightily in so-and-so's life, Father God, they're lost without you. I want you to send the Holy Ghost to start working on them. Father God, I know that you're going to do it because it's your will that I'll be saved. And right now I'm praying that you move in that person's life, and I'm thanking you for what you're going to do.
Hallelujah.
When you start praying like that, watch God move all around you. Amen.
Amen.
The gift that cannot be returned. I want to read you a story to kind of show you God's love. And now nothing can compare to what I've already read in Isaiah 53, how we learn all these things that God has done. But it says this. This is simply titled, The Love of the Father. After a few of the usual Sunday evening hymns, the church pastor once again slowly stood up and walked to the pulpit and gave a very brief introduction of his childhood friend. With that, an elderly man stepped up to the pulpit to speak. A father and his son and a friend of his son were sailing off the Pacific coast, he said, when a fast approaching storm blocked any attempt to get back to the shore. The waves were so high that even though his father was an experienced sailor, he could not keep the boat upright, and the three were swept into the ocean. The old man hesitated for a moment, making eye contact with two teenagers, who were for the first time since the service began looking somewhat interested in this story. He continued, grabbing a rescue line, the father had to make the most excruciating decision of his life, to which boy he would throw the other end of the line. He only had seconds to make the decision. The father knew that his son was a Christian, and he also knew that his son's friend was not. The agony of his decision could not be matched by the torment of the waves. As the father yelled out, I love you, son! And he threw the line to his son's friend. By the time he pulled back the friend back to the capsized boat, his son had disappeared beyond the raging swells into the black of the night, and his body was never recovered. By this time, the two teenagers were sitting straighter in the pew, waiting for the next words to come out of the old man's mouth. The father, he continued, knew that his son would step into eternity with Jesus, and he could not bear the thought of his son's friend stepping into eternity without Jesus. Therefore, he sacrificed his son. How great is the love of God that he should do the same for us. With that, the old man turned back and sat down in his chair as silence filled the room. Within minutes after the service ended, the two teenagers were at the old man's side. That was a nice story, they said. Politely started out one of the boys, but I don't think it's very realistic for a father to give up his son's life in the hopes that the other boy would become a Christian. The old man said, well, you got a point there, the old man replied, glancing down at his worn Bible. A big smile broadened his narrow face, and he once again looked up at the boys and said, it sure isn't very realistic, is it? But I'm standing here to tell you today, that story gives me a glimpse of what it must have been like for God to give up his own son for me.
Amen.
You see, I was the son's friend.
All
God has done so much to save us. God has done so much to bring about a change. God said, "Son, I know you're saved, but these people are not. So I'm going to sacrifice you to wheel them in." We have got to wake up and realize that God has done a great work. The ship in our life has been capsized. We've all been thrown out into the point where we're drowning. And we said, "Lord, save us." And when God saves us, He expects us to serve. Amen.
Amen.
This old man, he realized that in this case, he got saved.
Right.
You can be in a saved atmosphere and not be saved. You can be participating in church activity and coming to Bible study, being in a saved atmosphere. But when God gets a hold of your life and when God rips apart what you thought you were, He will put a new spirit inside of you, a new heart inside of you, that when you start to walk, all you can do is say, "Oh my God, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was sinking, but now I'm on solid ground. God has done a great work. The gift that He has given cannot be returned. The gift that God has provided has to be established," and we have to say, "Glory to God. I received the gift. I couldn't purchase it. I have no proof other than the fact that Jesus calls me His own."
All right. Thank you, Jesus.
That's the proof. The only thing that we can have is Jesus saying at Judgment Day, Satan saying, "Oh, look at Adam. He thinks he's going to get into heaven. Here's what he's done in his life. He's lied. He's stolen. He's cheated. He's blasphemed. Here's the dates that he did it. Here's exactly what he said. Here's who he said it to. And God, you're just God. So by the evidence that I'm giving you on Adam, he's got to come with me." And then all of a sudden, our advocator, our great high priest, says, "Devil, you forgot something." Back here in 1980, in the middle of the night, he got down on his knees and said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from the body of death?" He said, "Jesus, save me." And guess what I did? Guess what I did? His sins are forgiven. They're far as the east is from the west, and you can't have him. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
For Jesus to say, "He's mine."
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
The gift that can't be given back.
All right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Throw away the receipt.
All right.
Jesus paid a mighty price. Amen.
Amen.
If there are any here this morning that are sinking, is there any here this morning that haven't been saved or have just been looking in but not tasting? Is there any here that need God to bring them home? Jesus is able.
Yes, He is.
And He wants to, amen. Ask y'all stand this morning. If there are those that are lost, I pray that we're all saved here, but you never know. Only you know what's going on in your life. Only you know what secrets may or may not be there. If you need Jesus this morning, these altars are open. You can come. God is here to save. We serve a great God. It's a must that He would sacrifice His own Son that we can have life. And that we can have life more abundantly. That we can accept this gift and give God the glory for it. And all we can do is say, "God, I know I can't deserve it, but Your grace is sufficient for me." If any of you need God's grace applied in your life, please offer those. If you need prayer this morning, you can come. If you need anything from God, it's simply asking, you shall receive. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Ask and you shall receive. That's all it takes for people to humble themselves and pray and say, God, I need something from you. I know I can't get it in my own self, but you provide it through Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do. And for the souls that come, amen and amen.
Come on, tell them, Father.
With my